Movement has the biggest deals of the holiday season and the sleekest watches around, whether you're gifting for family, friends, or yourself. Shop 30 to 60% off Movement's variety of designs, colorways, and functionalities. From the thinnest automatic dress watch under $500 to waterproof guarantee adventure-ready sport watches to rare ceramics. Be the good gifter this year. Shop 30 to 60% off now at Movement.com and enjoy fast and free shipping. That's MVMT.com.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility, with digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
Getting back to that point of feeling good again, not having that anxiety or that pressure of like getting hit in the face, kind of getting that out of the way is going to be huge for myself.
Loaded hot sheet today. What's up, everyone? Scotty Braun along with Baseball America's JJ Cooper and Ben Badler. Before we jump into Roki Sasaki talk, I just want to throw this out there. Top 10 lists are being unveiled on a daily basis at Baseball America. Get yourself a subscription. We hit the NL East last week. This week is the NL Central. That's all I'll say for now, but to be continued. And also on the NL Central front, Brock Wilkins going to join us soon. And with all of that being said, let's get to the main event, I think, from the weekend, the first move. I'm speeding right to Roki Sasaki. So JJ, I know you're covering this in depth, same with Ben. I'll let you jump into your angle of what people should be thinking about. Of course, there's a lot of talk of team, a lot of talk of why now, but give me more.
The why now is fascinating. The teams are fascinating. I think that sometimes almost gets kind of lost that when we talk about how good he could be, that I think there was a stretch when he was a 20-year-old that Roki Sasaki was as dominant as any pitcher has ever been in a two-game stretch, which I'd say that like across baseball period, not for a 20-year-old, not in Japan, like perfect game followed by eight innings of a perfect game. I can't find any other example of anyone ever doing that. And if you want to talk Johnny Vandermeer to me, I'll point out he walked 11 in those two games when he had back-to-back no-hitters. But the other question that we seem to keep getting is, well, could you do this to try to get him more money? Or could you name your stadium after Roki Sasaki? Are there ways to kind of be creative on this? And the best answer I can give is no. Like, this is something that I am not, I can't say that nothing could ever happen, because you can never say absolute certainty of these things. But MLB has set up these rules, and Ben knows this even better than I do, to essentially try to close off any loopholes, any ways you can't hire, you know, a friend of Roki Sasaki's and funnel money that way. You can't offer, you know, promise that you're good. You can't even promise that he's going to be on your opening day roster. As much as he will be on your opening day roster, you can't promise that. He's signing a minor league contract. And the best way I can put it is MLB lays out in fine detail all these different ways you can't offer inducements more than a signing bonus. And that's it. But then beyond that, they then say, if there's anything else, by the way, it all fits under this umbrella of you can't offer anything else. So if we don't explain it here, the commissioner can still punish you if you try to go around the rules by coming up with something that we haven't come up with. And if you say, oh yeah, well, has anyone ever been punished for this? Ask the Braves, because the Braves had not just a GM who was banned from the game, suspended. They also had players who were declared free agents. They were penalized and prevented from signing players internationally for more than $10,000. They had bonus pool limitations after that. Like, Ben, as Ben knows, again, better than I do, this is pretty strict. This is something that really is to make sure that a team signs Roki Sasaki for what can only be described as a truly bargain basement rate.
Yeah, and they're going to get, they're like you said, they're going to get him at a fraction of his open market value. So we'll see whether he signs. We'll see when he signs, right? So he could either sign during the current international signing period, which closes on December 15th, or he could wait until the next international signing period, which opens on January 15th. In between, there's a closed period where there's no signings allowed. So up until December 15th, we're in the current international signing period for 2024. Teams have largely spent most, if not all, of their bonus pool money at this point. Obviously, the Dodgers being the most notable exception, as we've been saying since the start of the year. But on January 15th, everything resets and the new bonus pools kick in. Officially, teams have anywhere from roughly $5 million to $7.5 million in their bonus pools for January 15th. Unofficially, these teams have, all 30 teams have agreements with players to sign well in advance of January 15th. They line up these deals with players years in advance from Latin America when they're 13, 14 years old. So, you take a player from the Dominican Republic, like Elian Pena, a shortstop for this year, you can say the Mets have a $6.2 million bonus pool, but most of that money is already committed to them signing Elian Pena, who's one of the most talented players in the class, sweet left-handed swing, big power. All of these teams have deals lined up. The Dodgers, again, stick out as a notable exception as a team that's committed less money than other clubs. It's part of why we've been saying all year that they're the favorites. But ultimately, nothing with these teams is official until somebody signs a contract. And if a team thinks it has a chance at signing Roki Sasaki, I think there are certainly some teams, or certainly a lot of teams, that are willing to back out of these agreements too.
Help me out here. So let's bring in this question from Owl. Jackson Churio got paid before joining the show. Why the difference? JJ, I'm thinking the same thing. So if I meet with Roki and I say, hey, we can't do this, we love what the Brewers did with Jackson Churio, we're just saying that and we thought it was cool. After he does sign, can't they throw a massive extension his way?
Eventually, yes. Right away, no. The best way I can explain that is that in Jackson Churio's case, it was clear that that was not an attempt to circumvent the bonus limits. Jackson Churio came in, he played multiple years before he, basically signed that extension. Here's the way that it is written in the CBA. Promising, representing, or committing to sign a player to another minor league contract or a major league contract in the future, or to provide additional compensation under your current contract, such as a higher salary in future years of a minor league contract, is prohibited. So if someone signed Sasaki and then in March said, we've signed him to a 9-year deal, that's probably going to get basically vetoed. That's going to be, now, if you said, 2 years from now, we saw this with Otani. You can extend him eventually. This doesn't mean you can never extend him, but anything that in any way appears to be an attempt to get around the bonus limitations is going to be looked at extremely, skeptically.
I'm going to jump in. Okay. Since it is a gray line, Sasaki signs, let's say, with the Dodgers, who are the heavy favorite, and everyone's saying that he's friendly with Yamamoto and with Otani, and it would be a thrill for him, super team, the whole deal, right? He starts the season in the bigs. He dominates for a month. The Dodgers offer him a big extension. What's the line? Now, we don't know what it is, but what's the line? If I'm the Dodgers, I'm going to say, hey, he's pitching like a Cy Young in month one. We want to lock him up.
That's where it is difficult to say where that line is, because now, again, where I say where that line is like, if you are talking, he's going to have to pitch in the big leagues. That part of that line is, it cannot happen before then. Now, when is that point where it can happen? That's a great question, because obviously at some point we did see the best example I can come up with on this is actually Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray, if you remember, was an A's first round pick. And then he went off and won the Heisman Trophy because the A's let him play football. In that case, MLB, basically, the MLB has also strict rules about you can't just sign, you can't sign major league contracts for draftees. In that case, they did offer some indication that they would look comfortably at if the A's came up with an extension to try to retain Murray because he had this other contract sitting out there, that that was a possibility and that wouldn't be looked at. But that was a year later. There were some other, you know, situations. You're right. This is all very vague. This is all very difficult to say exactly where that line is. But I would say there is a pretty clear line saying you're going to have to try to make this pitch based on essentially where it's like, look at our facilities, look at our coaches, look at the fit, look at our city, more so than we can offer you more money than someone else.
Yeah, it's certainly a gray area. And Ben, I mean, I'll also ask to follow up on your international money topic, how this could affect the market. So I'm going to again play to the favorite here. Let's say the Dodgers have committed X million dollars to either signees from this class or the class coming up in January. Does that just mean they're going to call them and say, hey, Sasaki happened, so we're letting you loose. Go find some money elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, you know, these teams have commitments lined up years in advance. But I think when you have a player like Roki Sasaki who's available, if a team thinks they have a realistic chance at getting him, yeah, they're going to either back out of those agreements entirely or risk, put them at risk. I mean, you can say, well, won't that have negative repercussions for that team in Latin America? It will damage relationships. Agents will be less likely to trust you or show you those players. Maybe. I think it'll be uncomfortable for the scouts on the ground, for the Latin American director or an international director. But these are going to be GMs, presidents, owners who are going to be making the call here. You know, if like Buster Posey or Steve Cohen has a chance to sign Roki Sasaki, they're going to go after him and sign him and tell their international department, you know, you guys deal with whatever negative fallout there is in Latin America. I don't care about some 16-year-old shortstop from the Dominican Republic who might get to the big leagues in 4 or 5 years in a best case scenario. I'm signing the best pitching prospect in the world, who's going to be in our starting rotation in 2025 at a fraction of what his open market value is. I think most likely Roki Sasaki is going to sign with the Dodgers. So if that happens, this stuff won't make as much of a difference. But if he doesn't, you're going to see other clubs who are going to be willing to break off their agreements from Latin America that they've had in place for years.
The other thing I would say with this is if he hasn't signed by January 15th, it will be fascinating to see how many teams sign, you know, have players sign on January 15th or kind of hold off a few days to see, you know, kind of till that decision's made. But the other thing that jumps out here for me as just a fan of baseball, it's nothing against the Dodgers, but I just kind of hope that he doesn't end up a Dodger. And I don't mean that for anything other than the fact that I think for baseball, if Roki Sasaki ends up a Dodger, he becomes yet another star on a team full of stars. Whereas if Roki Sasaki goes somewhere else, there's a chance to kind of add a boost to a market, add a star to a market that isn't already full of stars. The Dodgers winning the World Series and then adding the best available pitcher it's kind of like, I wrote a story on it today at BA. It's like Warren Buffett winning the lottery. It's like, okay, that's nice, but they already have everything. What do you get the team that already has everything? Whereas if Roki Sasaki goes to, there's a lot of teams where Roki Sasaki would truly be kind of transformative. You know, again, as a fan of baseball, I would love to see him go somewhere that would be transformative.
Hey, they had three starters for the entire postseason. So they're like, we'll use a fourth right here. I'm obviously kidding. I know that there are plenty of starters coming back for them next year. But anyway, it's not the end of this topic. We are ready to bring on our guest here for the day on Hot Sheet. His name is Brock Wilkin. He is part of the Milwaukee Brewers system. So let's bring him in. He also just had himself a nice little Arizona Fall League home run derby. Brock, thank you for joining us, man. How you doing? And how was that Fall Stars home run derby? I know you didn't win. You finished in second, but I heard you put on a pretty good show late.
Yeah. First off, thanks for having me. It's a cool honor to be on this. Seen a bunch of videos and tuned in a couple times myself. But the home run derby was a blast. You know, it was a special memory that I got to share with a special person, my dad. He was the one throwing to me. I didn't end up winning, but it was a pretty cool memory that'll last a lifetime, that's for sure.
When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. If you hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed at Baseball America is that it makes hiring easy. Everything's in one place. I get my applications. I get notifications when I get new applications. I get to contact prospective candidates all on Indeed. I can move people to the next level all on Indeed, and we can keep all of everyone on staff involved in the hiring process up to date, all at Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When creating your own business, the most important part is your ideas. So why let the headache of registering your business hold those ideas back? It's time to learn about a great idea that will keep you going and growing, LegalZoom. LegalZoom has everything you need to launch, run, and protect your business all in one place. Setting up your business properly and remaining compliant are things you want to get right from the get-go, but you don't have to strain your brain or wallet. LegalZoom saves you from wasting hours making sense of the legal stuff. At LegalZoom.com, you can take care of business legal needs in just a few clicks. And if you need some hands-on help, their network of experienced attorneys from around the country has your back. Over the last 20 years, LegalZoom helped start, run, and protect millions of businesses. LegalZoom, now you're in business. Launch, run, and protect your business to make it official today at LegalZoom.com and use promo code BASEBALL to get 10% off any LegalZoom business formation product, excluding subscriptions and renewals. Expires 12/31/24. Get everything you need from setup to success at LegalZoom.com and use promo code BASEBALL. LegalZoom.com and use promo code BASEBALL. Disclaimer, LegalZoom provides access to independent attorneys and self-service tools. LegalZoom is not a law firm and does not provide legal advice except where authorized through its subsidiary law firm, LZ Legal Services, LLC.
No team wins the World Series without having great teamwork. And teamwork can also protect your financial legacy and your family's future. SelectQuote's licensed insurance agents are the perfect teammates when shopping for customized, affordable life insurance. They can find you the right policy to keep your financial legacy safe. SelectQuote is one of America's leading insurance brokers with nearly 40 years of experience helping over 2 million customers find over $700 billion in coverage since 1985. Other life insurance brokers offer impersonal one-size-fits-all policies that may cost you more and cover you less, while SelectQuote's licensed insurance agents work for you to tailor a life insurance policy for your individual needs in as little as 15 minutes. You invest so much time to take care of yourself and be the healthiest, best version of you. SelectQuote's exclusive policies can reward that effort. If you're in good health, they work with carriers that get you same-day coverage for up to $5 million with no medical exam required. And these policies are more affordable than you may think. You can get coverage for up to $1 million for as little as $20 per month. Head to SelectQuote.com and a licensed insurance agent will call you right away with the right policy for your life and your budget. SelectQuote, they shop, you save. Get the right life insurance for you for less at SelectQuote.com/BA. Go to SelectQuote.com/BA today to get started. That's SelectQuote.com/BA.
So, Brock, thank you for joining us. Your AFL, like, you've had kind of a fascinating season. And I say that, like, it kind of had a rough start. If you would kind of explain to people, you know, obviously you kind of had a, you've kind of had to kind of gut your way through this year, I would imagine, in some ways. But after getting kind of, you know, getting hit in the head.
Yeah. So, you know, started, this is my first professional full year in pro ball. So, my fifth professional game, I took 95 to my left cheek, and it basically fractured and broke every bone from here to my nose, and had to have reconstructive surgery, and it was out probably about, I think I missed 26, 28 games, something in there. Yep, there's a good pick. You know, it was kind of a very traumatic injury, and just trying to get back in the box was something that I don't think I've ever imagined having to do before, or even try to, you know, think about doing. I think was just a non-factor in my head at that point. And, you know, even though I did have the kind of softball cage on, there was a lot of at-bats, even after, you know, couple months later, there's definitely at-bats where I'm like, oh gosh, like, is he going to let one go again? And I'm wearing a full protective shield. So I think that's something that kind of, you know, hindered me a little bit. And not only that, you know, there were some mechanic issues wrong with that. So, you know, kind of stemmed from a bunch of issues, but yeah, I mean, you know, just had to gut it out and grind it out, and see what happens from there.
No, kind of with that, how do you kind of, like, it's not that you can just say, okay, I'm going to throw that out. Like, that's an experience you've lived through. I mean, is it just getting at bats? Is it talking to people off the, you know, like, is there kind of a sports performance kind of side of this, you know, in the mental side? Or how do you kind of work through something like that? Because again, that's, you essentially went through, you know, the baseball version of a car wreck.
Yeah, no doubt. I think it's kind of been a culmination of things. You know, my wife being one of the biggest ones, kind of just talking to her and helping her helping me through that, is kind of, you know, she's, no, you're not technically qualified as my confidant. So being able to talk to her and tell her things, and then, you know, in the fall league, I'm not wearing the full protective cage. I just kind of have the C flap on again. And I think it's one of those things where it's just time and at bats and just the mindset of, like, all right, like, you know, if this freak accident happens again, like, it's just going to happen. You know, like, you just kind of have to get over that fact of getting hit and just kind of stay in there and stay locked in on not only your mental approach, but also your physical mechanics that you got to do. I mean, hitting's hard enough, trying to hit with basically a piece of paper in front of your face of, like, anxiety is kind of how I would describe it. And that anxiety is getting hit in the face again. So now, you know, if that piece of paper is a little bit lower down by my belt, okay, I know it's in my peripheral, but I know it's not in front of my face. And I know that it's not prohibiting me from going out there and trying to win that at bat.
Yeah, Brock, you talked obviously about the mental side of going through all that. What about physically? I mean, what was it like hitting with the cage on your face? I mean, did it affect your ability to just to see or to track pitches? What was it like physically going through that?
Yeah, you know, I think there's definitely some physical aspects to it as well that I don't think are talked about as much. And, you know, one of them may being, I'm going to go get a couple eye tests done in the off season because that traumatic injury to the head. I don't know if my eyes are exactly where they have been or where they need to be. So I think that's what I'm going to do in the off season is kind of make sure that my eyes, weren't affected by this instance. And, you know, I think the second thing is that cage, it's great. But also there are times where it's like, dang, like, why didn't I see that pitch? You know, why didn't I hit that slider as well as I thought it was? Or, damn, like, is there a hole in my bat? You know, like, and I felt like that sometimes was from the cage, but at the other times it was probably just a lot of other outside aspects involved in that. But yeah, I think a lot of it was just those couple of things in a nutshell.
Also, Brock, though, congratulations. So kind of a big summer another way for you guys, wasn't it? Like, you know, so what is it like being a dad?
Yeah, it's pretty special. You know, that's another big life moment that, my wife and I shared as well. And you know, it was a super big accident. Wasn't really planned, but you know, I don't think we would have wanted it any other way. And you know, you add that to the whole process of getting hit in the face and recovering and all that stuff. It's been tough, but, I think finding the right person and going through life with the right person, as in my wife, makes it so much easier and so much stress-free. There have been times where he hasn't been sleeping great, she'll be like, all right, she takes him out into the other bedroom for a couple of hours, just so that I could get some rest, which I told her, I didn't need it, especially coming towards the end of the year. But that's just the type of person that she is. And, it's a super big blessing, and I'm just proud to be a dad.
Well, congratulations again. Also, just going back to the incident for a moment, whoever did the reconstruction nailed it. I mean, dude, if I talk to you, and obviously we know the story, but if I talk to you, I would never know. And it happened so recently too. They did a great job. I don't know if you have the place or the surgeon or whoever in mind, but I'm sure you're pretty proud of the results, right? Like, dude, I mean, we're looking at you. This is a show that has video, and you really can't tell. Like, you don't even have the stitches, nothing. I mean, the scars, nothing's really showing here anymore, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, no, she did a really good job. It was one of those things where, I was kind of messing with my wife. I was like, hey, I'm not sure what I'm going to look like afterwards. So, I don't blame you if you want to get out of here. Just kind of messing with her, but no, she did a really good job, and you honestly can't even really tell. They ended up like, it's kind of a little graphic, but they went like through my nose. They cut right here, and they went through my nose to kind of reconstruct all these bones in here. She did a really good job. I'm really impressed. So thankful for her as well. It was no complications from it. Everything went really smoothly, and she did a great job.
Yeah, that's great news. All right, so then back to a baseball question for you. Can you describe what you feel like are your best attributes on the field right now? Anybody that you like to watch, whether it's growing up or in the game right now, to just give people a little more of a sense of what you're all about as a player?
I think first off, like, I love to hit. That's kind of been my calling card all the way through, and this year wasn't so much as my hit card as it was on my defense. That was one thing I really prided myself on, was like, all right, like, I got to show a lot of these people, like, I can stick at the hot corner and play there in the big leagues, because that's ultimately where I want to get to. That was kind of the biggest thing for me, was even though I wasn't producing as I wanted to at the plate, like, I still had to go play defense and make it up on defense, basically. And that's kind of what I prided myself on throughout the year, is like, all right, even though hitting's not going as I want to right now, like, I still got to go play really good defense. And I feel like I did that really well this year. So I think those two things, keeping them going throughout the offseason and into next year, just continuing to build on those things and be consistent at both, is going to make me that much better.
Brock, kind of along those lines, looking ahead to next year, looking at the offseason, I know you're not done yet. The Arizona Fall League, it's not done, although it's kind of getting close to the end. What is it that you kind of like heading into spring training, where it's like, okay, you're going to have this kind of tumultuous year behind you. What is it that you want to be like when you hit the ground running in spring training? Like, hey, I'm going to be better at this.
That's a good question. Be better at just kind of everything. It was such a tumultuous year, like you said, just kind of getting back to where I was in spring training. I felt really good. I felt really prepared coming into spring training. I played well in spring training. I felt really good going into the season. I think just getting back to that point of feeling good again, not having that anxiety or that pressure of like getting hit in the face, getting hit in general. And I think kind of getting that out of the way is going to be huge for myself moving forward and continuing on into spring training.
Well, Brock, finish strong here in the AFL, and then we'll be following you leading up to spring training. Thank you so much for joining us. Good to see you, and have a great holiday coming up too.
Yes, sir. You guys too. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Brock Wilkin with us from the Brewers organization on Baseball America Hockey. That was awesome. All right. So we're going to step aside. We're going to say bye to Ben. Jeff's going to come in to help us lead the way with the rest of the National League Central. Be right back. Looking for recipes to bring the autumn feels? Hello, have you tried HelloFresh yet? America's number one meal kit gives you over 50 recipes to choose from each week. They pre-portion the ingredients and then they ship them right to your doorstep.
Picky eaters like Scott or people looking to fit a specific lifestyle have met their match. HelloFresh features preferences like fit and wholesome, quick and easy, or vegetarian.
HelloFresh helps me eat healthier and maintain my presence as a popular chef at home with my kids. I'm bringing variety to the dinner table.
Just stop with the endless recipe searching, or you're spending a whole bunch of money on a big jar of spices just for a pinch. That's all you need. You can also get step-by-step recipe cards, making cooking simpler by using HelloFresh.
Get 10 free meals at HelloFresh.com/freeFT. Applied across 7 boxes, new subscribers only, varies by plan. That's 10 free HelloFresh meals just by going to HelloFresh.com/freeFT.
All right, Baseball America Hot Sheet is back. So we've talked Sasaki, we've talked to Brock Wilkin. Now here comes Jeff Ponce, Mr. Arizona Fall League. If you didn't know, it's on the hat right now. What's up, Jeff?
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
I like it too. It pops. That one stands out.
But yeah, it was that one. I got the winter beard though. You can tell that I'm not out in the Arizona sun because I wouldn't be this scraggly.
I like the look though. It's like half summer or half hot. Half, hey, I'm still a grizzly bear in the Northeast right now. So let's get right to the National League Central, which is the division of the week here at Baseball America. As we show you the rollout schedule last week, the top 10s were unveiled for the National League East. And today the Cubs comes out. And now we have the Reds, Brewers, Pirates, and Cardinals the rest of the week. So Jeff, want to give us an overview of how this went down? Anything significant that stands out? Obviously big names too.
Yeah, I think, you know, definitely some big names. You know, I do the Cubs in this division. So that was the first top 10 of mine that's been released. I was doing some chat up on the site today. I think the big story there is it's just a really talented sort of top eight. A lot of really interesting bats, you know, in this system. And that doesn't even account for one like Jonathan Long. But it's really led off by Matt Shaw, who I think is one of the more ready-made offensive prospects in the game right now. Definitely has an opportunity to break through with the Cubs at some point, you know, next season. I think the story when you're moving on to some other teams in the division, like the Reds, really talented pitching up top with guys like Rhett Lauder and Chase Burns. I'm not going to say who's won just yet. I'll leave that for when that gets released. But I think, you know, that's another team that's really interesting to sort of dig into a little bit and think about. Of course, you know, we just had Brock Wilkin, my boy Brock, it on a couple minutes ago. The Brewer system is as talented as it's been. I think some exciting names up top. Once again, I'm not going to.
You can give away one.
I'll say Jesus Mate is number one in that system. And I think that's a pretty big statement on our part. When you're considering this guy hasn't even come stateside yet and what potentially he can be. And then, you know, the Pirates are down a little bit from last year, mostly because Paul Skeens and Jared Jones graduated. I mean, kind of a good problem to have, but still some pitching around on the horizon there as well. So I don't know if JJ, if you had any thoughts on some of these NL Central teams.
The thing that jumps out to me when you just look at these are there are several teams here that you can make cases are have the best farm system or are in that discussion in the NL Central. The Cubs, I would say, probably have the best 1-8, like Jeff said. Like I think it kind of drops off after that, but that top group is really pretty special. And the thing that really stands out is how many guys they have who have already had some success at the upper levels of the minors. When you talk about, you know, and not just, you know, not just Shaw, but Moises Ballesteros or Nolan Casey, or there's a number of these guys. And then the Reds, I think we had Brock Wilkin on, you know, his Wake Forest teammate Rhett Lauder has already kind of had a great 6-game stretch in the big leagues with the Reds. Chase Burns, who was a Wake Forest a year later, the Reds draft Wake Forest pitchers with their first round picks. You could argue either of them won, really. So this is a, you know, and then you look at the Brewers, and the Brewers, I would say, have depth, and they always have about 3 or 4 pitchers who end up being just getting better and better and better. This is a really good Central. The Central's got some really good farm systems in it, and I would say it's kind of which is needed also because this is a division that, you know, hasn't been the strongest in recent years other than the Brewers, but there's a lot of positives here.
Yeah, I think the other one too is we didn't even mention the Cardinals, which of course have, you know, JJ Weatherholt, one of the more talented hitters in this draft, I think has a lot of excitement around him within that fan base, but also kind of the fantasy sphere as well. I think behind Bazzano, just based on the performance and what Condon's done, Weatherholt is kind of moving up in a lot of fantasy lists. That's what we're seeing here kind of early in the offseason, and certainly something I'm working on with Dylan right now. And then, of course, you got Quinn Matthews and Tink Hentz and then Thomas Sagesi, who are all, you know, interesting players. Two of those, I think, should play a pretty prominent role with the Cardinals next season with, you know, Quinn and Sagesi, and then we'll sort of see what Tink Hentz's health is like, because he's potentially in the mix as well, as he needs to be out of the 40-man roster.
All right, so a lot more, of course, on the site all week as the top 10s will be unveiled. So I encourage everyone to please check that out. If you're watching this already, hope you have a Baseball America subscription as well. And we'll keep going division by division as we roll through the offseason here. And yes, we'll keep talking and answering questions about Roki Sasaki. I know there are many about the posting system. Also, let's see when he's going to get posted to. But if you're just joining us now live, we hit that topic pretty hard for the first 12 or so minutes of Hot Sheet. So thanks to Jeff. Thanks to JJ. Thanks to everyone watching and listening afterward on the podcast format. And we'll see you next week on Hot Sheet.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. And now during our Black Friday sale, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed. Plus special financing. Limited time. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.